What's going on, my friend? You're listening to the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 182.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What's going on, party people? I got a master class for you here with Mr. James Hawk out of Jacksonville. And James is somebody that you'll hear in a couple of minutes on this show who I met recently at a mastermind just a couple of months ago. And the dude and his partner are absolutely crushing it. I know that that phrase gets tossed around a lot, but he runs a seven-figure business out of Jacksonville. Their primary strategy is wholesaling. They also do some new construction and some rehabbing. And what you're going to find out is that, you know, James didn't get started that long ago. 2010 is when he got started on his own. And then he partnered up with his business partner, his current business partner, in 2013. And since then, they've done over 500 deals. And so on this particular episode, we're going to talk about hiring the right people. We're going to talk about marketing, and we're going to talk about his follow-up system because they're getting a lot of deals from referrals. And one of the really, really cool things that I'm personally going to implement that we talk about is their Houses Help program, which is a program designed. Their goal is to donate $100,000 to charities by working with homeowners. So got a lot of cool things that we cover in this particular masterclass. And so let's just jump right into it. James, what's going on, my friend? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Everything is awesome, dude. How's everything over there in Jacksonville?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Doing great. Thanks for having me come on.
Yeah. So just to give people a little bit of background here, James and I actually haven't even known each other that long. We met at CG Mastermind back in December, and we got a chance to talk on one of the breaks and, you know, got to learn a little bit more about what he's doing out in Jacksonville. And we stayed in contact. We've had a few conversations since then, and he's up to just some really cool things. Matter of fact, one of the things that we will probably get into on today's show is, you know, a couple of minutes before we started recording this particular podcast, James just shared with me a pretty awesome idea that involves, you know, integrating charity and giving back into your business. And something that, you know, that's why I love connecting with high level people like James, because one conversation, one thought, one idea can spark and impact so many people. And that's one of those things, you know, I've never had a challenge implementing good ideas and things that I hear. And so that's one of those things that we're going to implement either end of this quarter or beginning of second quarter. And I know it's going to have a profound impact on people just by one little conversation or one little piece of information that James decided to share with me. And so that's really the reason I do this podcast, is just to put out the best possible quality content I can, and to bring guys like James on here to share, you know, what's working in his business. So James, man, I guess with that little bit of background there, if for the people that don't know who you are, maybe if you can kind of fill in some of the gaps as far as, you know, how you got started in this business and then what your business looks like today.
Sure. So I'm James Hawk. We're based out of Jacksonville, Florida. I do have a business partner now. So I started in 2010. I was actually a supervisor at a bridge company. We did the Woodrow Wilson, so we were featured on Mega Builders. It was pretty cool. You know, I pretty much worked my way from the bottom to, you know, a supervisor position in that company. And I had a friend of mine that was in real estate. Originally, I set out to be an agent, and, you know, I just, he was on the investing side, and, you know, I seen the kind of money he was making. So yeah. I decided maybe being an agent, you know, wasn't the smartest play. So he wouldn't, you know, and he really wouldn't tell me a whole lot about what he was doing. He kind of kept his cards to his chest, and I went out on my own and just started doing some research. I mean, YouTube was really young at that point. I think actually one of the first videos I seen on wholesaling was what is the REI Club, or Michael yeah. Jake, yep. which is actually in CG with us, you know, which is pretty cool.
That's right.
So I learned about the concept of wholesaling. I mean, it seemed a little crazy, but I mean, you know, who really cares, right? You might as well give it a shot. That's always been my personality. So, I mean, I did, right? And it was geez, I think almost 6 months before I actually did my first deal. And it was like $4,000. And then I did my second deal, and that one was $20,000. So once I hit that point, I quit my job and I was like, all right, I'm just going all in.
Amazing.
Which, you know, I mean, yeah, it worked out great, obviously. But then, you know, a lot of people thought I was crazy. They're like, are you really about to leave your job? And you still don't even know that much about what it is that you're doing. And, you know, I wanted to go all in, and I just didn't want to be stuck doing something that I really didn't love. So,
yeah. Well, let me tell you, I tip my hat to you, because there's so many people, and I could relate to that story, because I had a very similar story when I was in my corporate job. And there's so many people that just get paralyzed and they don't make a decision, and they wake up, you know, 10, 15, 20 years later, and they're still stuck in a job they hate, not doing what they want to do. They don't feel fulfilled. And so, yeah, man, I tip my hat to you, because a lot of people just get stuck, and they're scared to make that move, you know?
Yeah. I mean, really, it's just, you got to do it. I mean, we only have one shot, you know, really. Like, I mean, we're here for a short period of time. And that's just the reality. So you need to go out there and make it happen, or no one else is going to do it for you. So,
yep.
That's just always been my personality. And I mean, it worked out well. I mean, I'm sitting here talking to you today, but, I started my own business, and, you know, I was doing deals, and, fast forward to 2013, I met my business partner now, which is, you know, Hunter. And, we decided to partner up on a deal, and that's how the whole thing started. We kept crossing paths, like on deals each other had, like Craigslist, and I got a deal in this, like highly desirable area, and he met me there. And that was the first time we actually met face to face. And I was like, okay, I'll bring the deal. And he was like, I'll bring the money. And we were going to flip it. We did. We absolutely crushed it. And, you know, it's probably the best and worst thing that could happen on your first, like, real, like, flip.
You got a little spoiled.
You know, so we're on this, like, super high of, you know, making all this money. And now we're the best rehabbers in the world. And we decide, all right, well, why don't we just partner up and just do this, you know, all the time?
Yeah.
And we did. And, you know, for a while there, we were just rehabbing and kind of put wholesaling to the side. And then we got back into like, oh, yeah, so we probably need a little bit more money coming in other than just rehab. So we went back to wholesaling. And I mean, and it was a lot of back and forth. But, you know, today our business, and we're still partners, it's primarily wholesaling. We do some new construction, and also we still do rehab. So that's what it looks like today.
James, what are your
team members?
You know, you mentioned you partnering with Hunter back in, I think it was 2013, you said. Can you talk a little bit about just like, what are your thoughts on partnerships in general? Because, you know, we've all heard horror stories and just, you know, partnerships going sideways or going south, so to speak. What was it about your partnership with Hunter that, you know, fast forward 5 years later and you guys are, you know, you have a thriving business? I mean, did you guys, were you very, you know, did you set the groundwork and have a very clear conversation early on? Or did you, like, how did you know this was the right guy to partner with? And then knowing what you know now, like, what advice do you give people that are considering taking on a partner?
Sure. I would say this, we did have that initial conversation, and I think the most important aspect of a partnership is making sure that your values are aligned, right? Yeah. So your values and also what your goals are. So without those two critical key things, and I mean, a partnership just won't work. I mean, you hear, just like you said, the typical horror stories, and you know, there's times obviously where it's like, if we don't agree on something, we just talk it out, and you know, we always come to you know, a common ground, and you know, we just move forward. So I mean, I think that a lot of it is you got to want to make it work. You know, you got to be humble about it. I think probably a lot of the times that a partnership fails, it's usually like one person is thinking, well, I'm just a lot better than this person. Like I'm doing more, or, you know, this or that and the other. And, you know, there's like, there's a lot of animosity and jealousy. Mm-hmm. And I mean, things just go south real quick. You just, you know, it's gotta be something that you want. And I think it's critical that both of you are on the same page. So that's my view on partnerships.
Yeah, communication is so important in any relationship, you know, not only in your personal life, but especially with, you know, having a business partner. It's a marriage of sorts. And so I think a lot of people, they pick up a partner, they partner with someone for the wrong reasons. And a lot of people, sometimes you and your partner have similar skill sets, but you also have similar weaknesses. And so I think that could potentially be a recipe for disaster, you know? So, but that's awesome, man. I mean, it sounds like obviously you guys have been able to make it work, and I'm sure you each have your own unique abilities, and that's what makes you guys great as a team, you know? So.
Absolutely. And, you know, since you said that, another thing is, you know, the yin and the yang, right? Like you want somebody that supplements your weaknesses and vice versa. So, I mean, that's the recipe for a great partnership. You know, so he's more of the analytical and I'm more of, you know, kind of pull from the hip and, you know, figure it out later type of person. So we complement each other.
Well, yeah, you're more the ready, fire, aim, and he's probably the reverse, but that's good because you guys balance each other out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome. So it's you, Hunter. Who else is on your team, James? Like what does your team look like today?
Yeah. So, Hunter and I, obviously, you know, we own the company, and then we have a full-time marketing guy on staff. We have transaction coordinator. We have, you know, two lead coordinators. One is a VA and in the Philippines, and one's in the office. And the VA is also, she does some data stuff and, you know, some other miscellaneous. We have a dispositions guy, and we also have an acquisitions guy. And we're actually in the middle of bringing on two more people. I feel like I'm forgetting somebody. Which is probably not a good thing, but
your team is growing though. I mean, it's obvious that you guys have been experiencing growth, you know, over the course of the last year or so. And so, you know, it sounds like you got a pretty big team, and you guys have a central office in Jacksonville, absolutely. Or is everybody virtually?
No, we have an office. The only person that's virtual is the VA, and she's in the Philippines. She's been with us for about 3 years now.
Okay.
And we're actually moving to a bigger office. We're out of space, so we'll be making that move in the middle of summer.
Got it. So, brother, what's been the driving factor behind you being able to grow the team in such a relatively short period of time? I mean, you know, you got started in this business back in 2010, you partnered up with your current partner in 2013. I mean, so the last 4 or 5 years, you know, you have a pretty big team, and obviously the business is growing. So what do you attribute that to? Has it been hiring the right people? Has it been like, if you had to kind of narrow it down to one or two things, what would you pinpoint those things to be?
I think it's a combination of a few different things, but I will say, you know, probably one of the primary things would be consistency. You know, back before Hunter and I partnered up, and even a good little ways into our partnership, we weren't consistent with like marketing, with, you know, just doing all the things that you need to be doing for growth and more success and more deals. And we weren't doing those things. So once we made the decision to become consistent in everything that we do, make sure that we're marketing every single week, make sure that, you know, we're doing all the right follow-up, right? So once we made that decision, I mean, things just kind of, you know, just started just moving. And also with the employees, we really try to make sure that we're hiring the right people. We don't try to just go out there and, you know, just pick somebody, and like if they don't work out, then we'll move on to the next one. We try to hire a little bit slower just to make sure that it saves us some time and money, you know, having the right people on the team.
Yeah, and believe me, I've made that mistake in the past. You know, I've talked about it in previous episodes. One of the biggest mistakes I've made is I've been quick to hire and slow to fire. And a mentor of mine told me a while back is you have to reverse that equation. You know, you got to hire slowly and fire quickly, you know? So
Yeah, man. It's, I mean, the hiring, in which obviously we know in this business, you know, hiring is fairly tough just because of, you know, what we do. And, you know, people aren't as familiar with what we do, right? They see the HGTV shows and everything else, but, yeah,
exactly.
It's a little bit of a unique type of business. So, you know, it isn't like Costco where, like, you know, they probably get a million applications a day.
Right.
So it is a little bit more difficult, but when you get the right person, I feel like you'll know it. And obviously the results will show if they're right or not.
Yeah, so. No, we're on the same page. So you kind of meant, you touched on the three things I was hoping to kind of cover in today's episode, and we'll do the best to get through as much of it as we can. But, you know, you talked about,
sure.
You talked about hiring the right people. You talked about your follow-up system. And then you talked about just, you know, being consistent with your marketing. And the last thing I'll say about marketing before I circle back to just building, you know, finding the right people is, if it's not consistent, it's non-existent. And dude, I'm so on the same page with you that you gotta be consistent, like on a weekly basis. You gotta have campaigns going out. That's the lifeblood of your business. If you don't have leads coming in, you're gonna have a sputtering business at best. And that's just something that a lot of people have a challenge with for some reason. They market, they generate leads, and they get so busy working them, and they turn off that faucet. You know, and leads stop coming in, and you know, James, man, once if you stop your marketing to ramp it back up, it takes 2, 3, 4 weeks. You got to get it out, and you got to it's a process, man. It just really kills momentum.
Yeah, there's never a time that we stop marketing. So I mean, there's every single week, every year, like marketing is cut on and mails going out. Things are always happening, so we never shut it down. And it just accumulates, you know, over time. I mean, we get calls today. I mean, deals from, you know, campaigns that we sent out 2 and 3 years ago, and people hold on to them. So,
that's right.
I mean, you just have to be consistent. And, you know, touching on what you said a minute ago about, why people don't do it. That's really interesting, right? I think it's weird because if they've had a certain level of success, they know it works. They know the marketing works. So why would you ever cut that off or stop doing it? And I mean, I could understand like the one man show that's like, okay, well now I got a bunch of deals. I got to go sell them. I got to manage a transaction and everything else. But, I mean, really when you're at that point, it's like hire more people so you can keep marketing. I mean, you should never stop no matter what.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. And you know, to that point, just to piggyback on what you're saying, what's crazy to me, James, is that when things get tight for certain investors and for certain wholesalers, the first expense they cut is marketing. And that's like the worst possible thing you could do. You know, like for whatever reason,
100%.
The marketing budget seems to get the axe when things get tight for people. And that's like, when things get tight, that's when you got to spend more money on marketing. You know what I mean? It's crazy to me that
100%, man.
Yeah, totally, dude. So I guess let's continue on this path of marketing. Like what are some of the marketing channels that have yielded the best results for you guys? I mean, obviously understanding you have to be consistent regardless of the marketing channel that you choose or the channels. But for you guys, what has kind of been your bread and butter from a marketing perspective?
Sure. And I'll just say this to start, like we focus heavily on customer experience. So, we get a ton of referrals, man. Which is awesome. Right. Because that's pretty much coming back from money that we've already spent. But, if I had to say the one channel that probably generated the most, and I mean, I'm sure everybody is going to say the same thing for the most part, and that's direct mail. Mm-hmm. I mean, direct mail just crushes it. I mean, we also do online stuff, you know, Facebook, AdWords, and we're actually, you know, we just got off the phone with someone yesterday and we're going to be doing radio and TV as well.
Awesome.
So we're going to see how that works out. But yeah, I mean, pretty much almost any channel that anyone is almost doing, we're probably doing and have been doing it. But mail is definitely, you know, always the best.
Dude, I got to put you in contact. You said you mentioned radio, James. Remind me offline. A couple episodes ago, I interviewed two guys out in Dallas who I met at another mastermind about a year and a half ago. Scott Orban and Scott, I'm forgetting his name for a second now. Anyway, two guys out of Dallas, super cool guys. Those guys are doing 12 to 16 deals a month. They've been doing radio for like the last six months to a year, and they're crushing with radio. So if you remind me, man, I'm happy they talk about a lot of it in the podcast episode. But anyway, I'll put you in contact with them, because radio, for a lot of guys that have the budget, it's the ROI is pretty crazy.
Yeah, man. So, awesome. Yeah. I mean, 100%. I mean, we want to do both, TV and radio, just to, switch it up a little bit. And so pretty much what we're trying to do, right, is just everywhere they go, they're seeing us. Uh-huh. So we're touching them everywhere in some type of way. So whenever they think about selling their house, they're thinking about us.
Yep, exactly. By the way, the guy's name is, I can't believe I forgot, Chris Arnold and Scott Orban. It's if you guys go to flipempire.com/episode174, they talk about, the hiring, and they also get into radio and some of those things.
Nice.
But so, man, aside from, how many mailers are you sending right now? Because I know direct mail and referrals seems to kind of be your primary source. On average, how many mailers do you guys have going out right now?
I would say we're sending right now about 100,000 pieces a month. And we're looking to increase that here in the very near future. So realistically, probably within the next couple months, more like 150.
So I was going to ask you what list you're hitting, but maybe a better question is to ask you what list you're not hitting. Because if you're sending out 100,000 mailers a month, I'm guessing you're pretty much covering it all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything that we're not hitting that I can think of. If anyone has any suggestions, I'm more than happy to hear them, because we're looking for more to mail. But anything that someone would know about, like, we're probably mailing it. I mean, we're looking soon. We'll probably be moving into, some of the surrounding markets that aren't directly here, just because we'll be probably maxing it out on mail.
Yeah, no, I got you. Talk to me a little bit about, before I transition and pivot over into the follow-up, because I mean, if you're sending out 100,000 mailers, I'm guessing you're probably getting 0.5%, maybe 1% response rate. Is that about right?
Yeah, roughly, usually typically around, like 0.5%, maybe 0.75% on a really good week. I mean, obviously everyone knows response rates are down a little bit. And that's just because it's so saturated out there. But if you're consistent, I mean, obviously you can still do deals. That's really all it is.
Yeah, no, exactly. So before we talk about your follow-up system, because I mean, if 100,000 mailers, 0.5% response rate, roughly that's about 500 calls that comes in a month. Not roughly, that's exactly 500 calls that come in a month. But give or take, if that goes up or down a little bit, a lot of people, you got to have a team, and you got to have an infrastructure in place. So do you find that, with the incoming calls and the follow-ups, like, what does your system look like to be able to handle, not just servicing those new leads, but then also the follow-up from there?
Yeah, we separate everything, motivated, not motivated. So obviously, if we get an appointment, then that's going to be categorized motivated. And if we don't, then it's going to be not motivated. So we have different follow-up sequences for each one, depending on what it is, what bucket they go into. And, they're just going to be getting different series and touches of, phone calls and, voicemails, emails. We leave stuff behind at the appointments that's like a package. We also send packages out after the appointment if we don't get the contract. There's a lot of cool things that that we do to make sure that we stay in front of people. And it's just important. If you're spending money in marketing at all, like, you need to have some type of follow-up. Without that, then you're just leaving a lot of money on the table.
Got it. So you have different follow-up or drip sequences, like, whether it sounds like you're touching people, with phone calls, with mail, with email, with text messages. You're sending packets, you're leaving packets. Is this all, have you found that there's a particular sequence that tends to work better for you guys, or it's just a matter of just making sure that you're following up consistently, and it doesn't necessarily matter the sequence?
Yeah, I mean, I think it does. I think it does matter. But really, I mean, it's important that you're following up just in general, right? I mean, you need to be getting back in touch with people and just staying in front of them regardless. But the way that we found that it works best is like, if you, let's just say in one of the sequences, if you're in the email sequence, right, that maybe it's like 10 days after that you follow up with a phone call, and maybe the next time it's 5 days with a text or whatever the case may be. So it's like, hey, I just want to make sure you got the email and let you know that we are still interested. And in this, so with the not motivated, it's probably a little bit more interesting than the motivated, because we push these campaigns out for quite a long time, you know, a year or two, depending on which one. And it's surprising, like with the people that call that are not motivated, like, I have no interest at all in selling, yada, yada, yada. And they might do that for a year, and then maybe it's a year and a half in, and they're like, okay, I changed my mind. And then, you know, just because you've been staying in touch with them the entire time, like, you're always fresh in their mind. If something happens, and they're ready to sell at some point, because we all know life happens. You just never know, right? A family member could pass away, whatever. They're going to automatically in their mind think about you because you've been in front of them that entire time.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's important.
And I think a perfect example of that, James, I think about a deal that we closed last year. We had a lead that came in from a direct mail campaign. This was May of 2015. And we got it closed. I think this was April or May of 2017 that we got it closed. We must have gotten about 20 something no's or I'm not interested in selling from this guy. But we just kept following up like once a month, just staying, like you said, top of mind, staying in front of them until the guy called back at some point. He called us. This was like February or March of last year. He called us. You know, we started communicating with him. We met out with the guy. We ended up closing a deal, made 40 grand because we kept that guy in our CRM for 2 years and we just followed up on a monthly basis. And so sometimes people ask me, hey, when do you stop following up with someone? My answer to them is when they tell us to go fly a kite or kick rocks. In other words, take me off your list. Or if they tell me they sold a property. And even when they say they sold the property, we always follow up by asking if they have another property they're interested in selling, or if they know of someone that has a property they might be wanting to sell. And so basically the answer is we never stop following up.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. That's key. You just want to always keep doing it until exactly what you said, right? They say, hey, you know, I'm going to come down there and beat everybody up or take me off the list.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we've all had, you know, I mean, we have people show up at the office. Sometimes it's a little bit crazy, a little bit intense, but I mean, it is what it is. It's going to happen, right?
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny that you said that, man, because like about a year and a half ago, I got a call from, so we have our return mail address. When we send out our direct mail, we have the mail go to a UPS box, like one of these UPS stores.
Oh, okay.
And so about a year and a half ago, the manager of this UPS store calls me and I pick up. I'm like, hey, what's up? He's like, we have an angry, irate customer that's here and he's demanding to talk to somebody from your company. And I'm like, huh? What do you mean he's there? He's like, yeah, we have this older gentleman that showed up and the guy's fuming and he wants to talk to somebody because you guys keep sending him postcards. And I could not believe it, man. So if we don't have, you know, we don't have an office that we report to. We all work virtual. So I can only imagine some of the stories that you guys probably have.
Oh, man. It's interesting, right? Like, why people get so upset over a postcard. I mean, it's like Walmart is hitting you, you know, every week. I mean, you're getting advertisements all the time from all the, and there's really no different, you know, there's no difference in that. And what we're doing, but people get, I mean, I understand their house. It's a touchy subject. And some people take it personal, but it is what it is, right?
Yeah, dude,
I mean, it's marketing.
Yeah. Man, if you're not pissing some people off, you're not doing enough marketing. That's the bottom line.
Absolutely. That's 100% the truth, right? If you're not making anybody upset, you're not doing it enough. So.
Got it. So, man, James, you said something that kind of, you know, that piqued my interest. You said when you guys go on appointments, if you don't get the contract, you're leaving a packet behind. Can you talk a little bit about like what that packet looks like and what the response has been from that?
Sure. I mean, people love it. I mean, it's just a credibility type of thing. It's like an introduction to the person that's at the house, meeting them. You know, it's all the comps for the house. It's an introduction to us as the owners. It kind of goes over like all their different options and what it would look like selling their property, whether it's like selling to an investor cash, whether it's going with a realtor, whether it's, you know, selling it on some type of like terms type of deal. It's just pretty much just a bunch of credibility and a lot of resources for the seller. That's okay. That's really all it is. And people love it because it's, you know, not as many people that I know of do it. Yeah. But if a realtor goes to someone's house to list it, they're going to leave this large packet behind of all this stuff, right? Yep. They always do. So it's the same type of thing. I mean, so if they have met with a realtor and then they meet with you and it's like, okay, so the realtor is only going to list the house and they left me like all this stuff to look through. And like the person that come to buy my house didn't leave me anything. So yeah, it's just a credibility thing, customer experience. We, like I said before, we focus heavily on that and we try to make sure everyone has just a seamless selling experience.
I love the fact that, you know, from what you're sharing here, you guys are very, you know, you said at the top of the show, you know, you're all about the customer experience. And that's what's going to keep you guys not only around 10, 15, 20 years from now, but what's going to keep you on that growth trajectory is the fact that you're focused on the customer first. It's you're not treating it as a transaction. You're treating it as a relationship. And I love hearing that. Absolutely. Because I think so many people just, they miss the boat. You know, it's all about the dollars and cents. And don't get me wrong, we run a business. We're all here to make money. But if you focus on the customer sure. first, the deal's going to happen. You know what I mean? Like maybe not every time you go out there, obviously not every time, but by and large, if you're doing right by the customer, your business is going to grow. Your business is going to prosper. And I love the fact that you guys not only have that mindset, but it shows in how you communicate. It shows in how you follow up. The fact that, you know, I asked 10 investors if they leave something behind, and probably 8 or 9, the answer is no. You know, one of the things that we implemented last year is we'll send them a card, a handwritten card, thanking them for their time, you know, with our contact information. Nice. But I love what you guys do because that's like what we do on steroids. It's a step further. And you're leaving something in their hands, tangible. And again, it's just another way to stay at top of mind. So not only do I love that you do that, but I kind of tease the audience, you know, prior to recording, James, you were sharing with me, you know, I don't even want to steal your thunder. You want to talk about the charity aspect of this when you guys meet with sellers? Because I thought it was really cool. And it's like definitely one of those things we're going to implement.
Sure. So pretty much what it is the Houses Help program we started. When we go and we make an offer to any seller, we give them the option to choose a charity or church of their choice, and we'll donate up to $1,000 to that church or charity at closing. It'll go on the HUD one and they'll see it there. They'll be like, okay, so I know this money is going to them. It'll get paid out at closing. And you know, we have a goal, right? That this year we want to at least be able to give $100,000. And, you know, it comes to a point, right? Like you reach a certain level of success. And you know, obviously you want to keep building upon that, but also it's like, what else is there, right? It's not always about what you can take. It's also about the power of you being able to give.
Yeah.
So we're really excited about it. And, you know, we have some different ideas that we've been bouncing around, you know, on like, you know, like trying to figure out how we can get other investors involved and everything else. But, we're kind of at the early stages. But yeah, it's working here. Right. I mean, I think we're at like 5 or 6 people so far that we've been able to do it for. And, you know, we're excited for this year where hopefully we'll be able to do a lot more.
Dude, I cannot tell you how much I love that idea. It really resonates with me because just giving is at our core, you know, And it just speaks to everything that I love about, you know, being an entrepreneur and being in business. It's not just about the bottom line, but it's the impact that you can have on people directly and indirectly. And this is just one of those ways to display and have that positive impact. So hats off to you, man. Absolutely love that, how you guys are giving back. Well, dude, we're pretty much going to wrap it up now, man. I mean, one of the questions I always like to end with, and you know, the audience knows if they've been following for a while, like I never tell the guest I'm going to ask this question, because I just want like the real, raw, authentic response. Like the first thing that comes to mind, but you know, you're pretty young, right? I'm guessing you're in your what, early 30s?
Yeah. I'm 31.
Okay. So rewind the clock 10, 12 years, you know, when, let's just say when you were 18, 19, okay, 20 years old, knowing what you know now, James, like what's that one piece of advice that you would share with the 18-year-old James Hawk? And this could be about business, it could be about life, it could be about anything, but if you just had like one thing to share with your younger self, like what would that be, knowing what you know now?
That is a very good question. So the first thing that comes to mind would be, you don't know what you don't know, mm-hmm, right? Probably what I would have done, and this is, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, pump anything up, but I would probably go find a mentor, or at least follow someone a little bit closer, to get started faster.
Yeah.
Right. Like you can always figure it out on yourself if you're willing to put in the time and the effort, then you can certainly do it. But why wouldn't you take the shortcut and, you know, speed up that process a little bit?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the way I look at it. And I wish I would have done it when I started. And, you know, who knows where I might even be. We might even be a little bit further along today. I'm not sure, but I would assume that we would. So, I mean, why take the long way around? Right. That's kind of the way I look at it. And then, of course, focus. I would also say focus, right? Don't try to do a million different things. Pick one thing and master that one thing. Then you can worry about moving on to something else. So that's what I would tell myself.
That's fantastic advice. And I co-sign on both of those things. You know, just to kind of piggyback on that, the first one you said is, I think people look at coaching and mentoring that they see as an expense, not an investment in themselves. And I'm with you. Like, yep, it took me 2 years until I decided to kind of pony up and hire somebody local. And if I could rewind the clock, you know, I went through so much brain damage those first couple of years in business because I didn't have somebody to lean on.
Yeah, man.
And it's like, wait, I'm going to pay how much money for somebody to coach me? I'm like, no, I'll figure it out myself. But I don't, now knowing what I know now, it's like, it cost me so much more in the long run by not taking that shortcut and just learn from someone that's been there, done that. So yeah, I'm totally with you. Awesome.
Yeah.
Man. Well,
it's
hey, brother,
true, man. I mean, it ends up costing you a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it does. It really does. So James, man, really appreciate the time, dude. Where can people connect with you? Where can people reach out to you? Find out more about what you have going on. I know you operate obviously in Jacksonville, so maybe if anybody has any deals or, you know, just how can people reach out and connect?
Sure. I mean, you can, you can find us depending on what you're trying to do. You can find me on Facebook, you know, Instagram. We have, you know, a few different pages depending on what it is that you're looking for. But if you look me up, then you'll be able to find all those different resources as well.
Okay. Okay, awesome. And what I'll do is, man, we'll put a link to your Facebook in the show notes. And if you want, we'll put a link to your site as well. So if you guys want to reach out to James,
sure,
just check out the show notes page, and we'll have all those resources in there. So James, buddy, appreciate you, man. I know I'll probably be seeing you at the end of March. So keep crushing.
Yeah,
dude,
man.
Thanks for being so open and transparent and sharing, man. And so I thank you, man. We'll catch up soon. And guys, I appreciate you taking the time to listen to the show. And remember, this is something I've mentioned often, and I'll continue to mention it. Speed of implementation. Just pick one thing that James shared here today that you're not doing that you know can have an impact in your business if you just put it into action, and just go do it. Like, so for me, it's going to be that Houses Help program. That's one of the things that my team and I have been kicking around is, what charity do we want to get behind? And what I really, really like about this is that you're putting that decision in the seller's hands, and it's an option to, it's a way to support different charities depending on, you know, what charity sellers want to support. So I just love it. Fantastic idea. And so that's what I want to challenge you with, is just take one thing that James shared today, implement it in your business, and then continue to give back by sharing that with others. So appreciate you, James. And guys, we'll catch you on the next show. No, take care.
Thanks, man.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.